The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. Joining me today are certified financial planner Spencer Hager and our founder, John E. Sestina. Hey, guys. Nice to have you here today.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you, John. It's always glad to have you here in the conversation. It's a privilege to have the sage with us today. Mm-hmm. So going to get right into it. We have a lot to cover. So imagine you're a chef. We were just kind of talking about going out to dinner. Imagine you're a chef. You're planning to open your own restaurant. You've got your recipes lined. Your passion, your vision, and before you start cooking up a storm, you need to kind of decide how you want to structure that business. That's really important. You can't just hang the sign on the door and expect things to kind of follow through. It's like choosing the perfect ingredients for a recipe. So each one contributes to the flavor and success of your dish. So similarly, looking into different business structures is like selecting the right ingredients for a recipe, and that's kind of what we're talking about. We're going to dive in and shed light on exploring business structures and discovering the landscape of ownership. So the first thing I want to talk about, Spencer, is when people are considering the type of business to open, how does the actual structure impact the financial plan?
It affects it in a lot of different ways. So I guess the first thing I'll throw out there, because everyone gets confused on this, and an LLC is not a tax structure when it comes to businesses. So I always tell people, I feel like it's really confusing. There are a lot of different entities out there. Right. That's what you're saying, essentially, when you say it's structure.
Yeah, we're going to get into the different types of structures. But I guess maybe I can refine my question.
Yeah,
is there, generally speaking, a rule of thumb to handle your business structure, whether it's Flavor 1 or Flavor 2, that impacts the financial plan?
Yeah, I would just say the scale of it, if I understand your question correctly. If it's a new business, it's probably going to be pretty simple. One particular structure is probably going to make sense as the business grows, revenue grows, profit grows, depending on the number of employees. That often dictates moving on to different structures. So I think that's where you're getting at. Mm-hmm. That's usually what I start with.
That may seem logical to our followers, but really, unless you have a business plan set forth, all of those details can fall by the wayside. John, I want to talk about the different types of business structures there are out there and give a brief overview to explain each one. So I'm going to kind of toss that softball to you. What kind of business structures are out there for
people? Well, I have to go get my suitcase with a list of all of them. Because, in fact, before you open your business, you better decide what structure you're opening the business under, because there are tax liabilities, income tax liabilities, and so forth. So there's several ones. Most people, when they start up, are sole proprietors. What does that mean? It's just you running your business. And when you do that, you may not think you're a business, but you do have to file a tax return, a Schedule C, and that's in your personal tax return. So if you're a sole proprietor, that's the most flexible one you can have, also the most dangerous one, because you have the least constraints. You don't have a board, for example. You don't have members advising you and so forth, and you're just doing what you think is right, which may not always be the case.
So you're relying on your own disciplines, your own work ethic. Yeah. You're not clocking in or checking in with any authoritarian, so you better be on top of all of it.
Right, because you're going to become absorbed in your recipe. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to focus on that more than all this other stuff, because most business owners, new ones, don't regard all this structure as relevant. Mm-hmm. And they're so busy trying to make the business work, they don't think about whether I should be a sole proprietor or partnership or whatever I should be.
Okay, so we've got sole proprietorship. Let's give the followers a few others.
A few others? Mm-hmm. Oh, glory.
Well, I guess let's pick the main most common that we hear about. Spencer mentioned one earlier.
Yeah, well, I think we should probably clarify something. So I think we're specifically talking more about the tax side of things when you're talking.
Not there yet. So I just want to name the different types of business
structures. Well, what you're talking about is different structures from a tax perspective, right?
So not necessarily. So
yes, you are.
So, you know, there are other things besides the tax planning that we'll get into. So we've got LLCs, sole proprietorships, partnerships.
Well, no, that's my point, right? So you can be an LLC and a sole proprietor. You can be an LLC and a partnership.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to distinguish is the LLC has nothing to do with the tax structure, right? The LLC is just limited liability company. That means you are trying to set up a shield for essentially where anything that's done under the premise of that business, that entity that's an LLC, ideally cannot come back and track to you personally, right? So if you're operating a business, someone decides to go after you for one reason or another with a lawsuit, they can only go after, in theory, the assets under that business, that business itself, not you personally. Again, that's just liability. It has nothing to do with, are you a sole prop, a partnership, right? That's mm-hmm. what I was trying to drive mm-hmm. home.
Yep, yep. There are definitely other elements involved. You got into one of them. Liability is certainly one of them. So is taxes. Mm-hmm. Are there others that are on the radar that we can talk about besides those?
With the LLC, you're saying?
Sole proprietorship, LLC, partnerships, corporations, S-corps. What's an S-corp?
Well, partnership are the most dangerous things you could do because when you get a partner, you have to be aware that what they're bringing to the table may not be what you hoped. I've been through several of those, and what happens is there's the owner and the person doing the work and the other one who's supposedly bring wisdom and the money, and typically that doesn't work so well. Mm-hmm. So when you bring a partnership is about formation of a unit that's going to work to help build the business. Mm-hmm. So partnership is very flexible because it just is that. Mm-hmm. And you can have a common partnership, or you can have a limited partnership, or you can have so many other arrangements. Mm-hmm. But I am basically against partnerships because I've been through enough of them where I've lost a lot of money because I had a partner.
Well, that's an interesting segue because my next question is liability really that relevant when you're choosing a business structure? You kind of just answered my question for me. It's very relevant.
Oh, it's probably the most relevant thing that you have to deal with and are not aware of it. You probably don't know that you have to change your insurance. Even if you're a sole proprietor, you have to notify your insurance company that you are, and there's insurance. A lot of people start these one-person businesses. They start in their kitchen or whatever their big story is going to be, and somebody slips on the floor in their kitchen. And they're liable for that, mm-hmm. and that there's not enough homeowners to take care of it. So you have to have specific business insurance for that business, even if you're a sole proprietor, even if you're in a home, have no rental place, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I feel like that comes back to scale, because I always remind people, too, in this conversation, right, everyone I feel like is thinking of, you came up with a great new idea, right, it's a startup or just something you're passionate about and you're a sole proprietor. The same, you know, on the other side of things, you could be an Uber driver, you could be, an independent contractor for a construction company, you could be a consultant and just bringing in 1099 income. In the eyes of the IRS, when you're filing your taxes, it's the exact same thing. So then you have to really kind of weigh, you know, if your 1099 income is $5,000 for the year and you're not really doing a job or consulting that opens you up to liability, do you need to set up an LLC to cover yourself and have that much? Maybe not. Maybe to John's point, you make sure you get some insurances checked off and it's that simple. Whereas if you're a sole proprietor and you're bringing in $80,000 of profit every year, you're probably opening up to more liability. There's more considerations where the LLC probably makes more sense.
And we're not insurance agents, but we do deal with this every day with our clients. What do you suggest people consider when they're looking at insurance? I'm assuming you have separate policies for the business than you do for yourself, or does it literally fall under one umbrella policy?
Right, it's a unique aspect of your life. So remember the partnership or whatever you have is a separate entity, whatever this thing is. And so you have to treat it like such and have protection for that entity for you. So the partnership is the most penetratable, I think, one you can pick. Because if you're both partners, you could be liable for everything. Mm-hmm. Your partner can do something not even related to the business and be sued, and you're dragged into the lawsuit because you are partners in this endeavor, whatever it is.
Wow.
Yeah, but I probably multiple insurances. Again, I think it comes down to the nature of the business. John said it. Like if you have a bunch of inventory at your house, at your homeowner's policy, if you dig into it, probably says coverage for business pursuits up to $5,000. And if you have $20,000 of inventory at the house, right, if your house burns down, you're out of pocket for mm-hmm. that. You may just want kind of a blank liability policy for $1 million. Or if you're dealing with contracts and you're being held to a certain service you're providing, you may get what's called errors and omissions coverage, right? Protecting you for if someone says you didn't meet up to the obligations outlined in the contract. So we're going after you in that perspective, withholding pay. All right, so again, it comes down to what you're doing.
Can there be a crossover? I mean, can someone sue you on both levels? Sue you against both policies, personal and professional, when you're a sole proprietor if you're working out of your home?
You can always be sued, no matter what. Whether it sticks or not is another issue. Part of what we should make people aware,
yeah.
If you're going to start a business, you need advisors who can help you make good decisions. Mm-hmm. One of them is an attorney. Mm-hmm. One of them is an accountant. One of them is an insurance person. So, and hopefully you have a good financial planner.
Yeah.
So with all of that, there's a whole lot of decisions before you put the sign on your door and say open.
Mm-hmm. You're perfect at segueing my next point. I think you must have be reading my mind or looking at my notes.
I am a mind reader. You forgot that.
My next point was how do the operations of the business impact a person's flexibility? And I would assume that falls under that umbrella that you're talking about. Picking the right professionals, you know, not, you know, looking at the legal and tax implications, all of those aspects of your operations.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think another piece is just to your point about operations, right? Are you a one-man show? Is it a husband and wife team and maybe you employ one other person? Mm-hmm. You probably have a lot of flexibility with less considerations when it comes to, you know, setting up benefits for the business, a retirement plan, things like that, compared to someone who has 20 employees. It's not a simple, oh, set up a 401k plan and we're off to the races. You really have to John's point, get a lot of input. There's a lot of hoops to jump through. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big piece that kind of determines the flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Are there particular industries or business models that kind of thrive under specific ownership structures in your experience?
Not that jump out to me right away, John. What about you?
Uber, maybe Uber kind of jumps out at me. That would be kind of
okay. A contractor
I see your point. Yeah. So yeah, like I said earlier, fair point. Mm-hmm. If you're a 1099 contractor and income's low, probably just a sole proprietor.
And 1099 for those who don't really understand that jargon, 1099 employee means what?
That you're essentially an independent contractor. You're not W-2. I meaning that you're not having any benefits offered to you. They rarely withhold any taxes for you. It's just here's a paycheck essentially for what you're doing. In the eyes of the IRS, you are a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the main thing. You're just no benefits, no tax withholdings generally. You're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, let's dig into the different structure types. You guys are champing at the bit to do that. Let's do it. Let's go with sole proprietorships and partnerships. Okay, so for somebody starting out a small business... Let's run through some of the pros and cons of both sole proprietorships and partnerships, especially regarding liability and decision-making. So I'm going to start with John. Give me a couple of pros and cons of the sole proprietorship.
Are you sure you don't want to give him partnership?
No, I'm not going to give him partnership.
Well, sole proprietorship is the most flexible one for you because there's no limits. You're in charge. You're doing everything there is. And there is no – you're not having a quote-unquote legal structure. You are filing a tax return, Schedule C, when you file your regular tax return. But otherwise, you know, when I started in my home in a little office, and I eventually hired Kathy. So I had one employee, and there was me and Kathy. And so we started from there, and as we grew, then I became a corporation. And as a corporation, I did that because of liability. And I'm going ahead of us.
Yeah.
But
keep going, John. Keep going.
We're going to stick with sole proprietorship.
That's
pros and cons.
When we looked at the outline, this is going to take 10 hours.
Yeah. We're going to scratch the surface. Oh, so okay. Pros and cons of sole proprietorship. Anything else you want to add to that one?
No.
Spencer, tell us how a partnership can be a good thing or not such a good thing.
Yeah, pain in his voice. to be honest with you, I think John beat it up pretty good. As we get into taxes and things like that, there's not really a profound benefit with a partnership compared to a sole proprietor or an S corporation. Right, the pros are pretty straightforward. It's just, it's a way of doing business, right? It's pretty much a necessity. If you're going into business with someone else who has a percentage ownership in that business, you're going to have to become a partnership, assuming you're actively engaged on both sides. There's not a pro. It's just pretty much what you have to do. Right? You can't be a sole prop when you've got three partners mm-hmm. working on it. The cons, I think John said it, there's not a con that jumps out to me from a tax perspective or liability. It's just, well, maybe to what John said about if someone goes after your partner. But again, that kind of comes down to more of the qualitative of just you're going into business with someone else. It's not just all on you. And when it comes to making decisions with trying to find, you know, tax incentives, things to implement for the business, if it doesn't make sense for your partners, right, you may not move forward with it. It's not an inherent con, but, you know, it's not just you calling the shots.
Choose your partners wisely, right? Because it boils down to the people first that you're doing business with. Make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah,
and you have the same vision.
Yeah.
And you're growing together as opposed to growing apart.
Yeah, and accept that probably just know going in for most people, your situation on the personal front may not be the same as your partner's, and mm-hmm. that may dictate how things go with the mm-hmm. business.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even though you thought they were in the beginning.
Yeah, right. That makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about corporations. What specific benefits and drawbacks does forming a corporation offer compared to these? C-Corps and S-Corps are very different. So let's talk first about what the difference is between the two. Spencer?
Yeah, so the difference between the two at the high level is that an S-Corporation is a pass-through entity, which, yeah, I know that's a little bit confusing. Just means that essentially there's no double taxation, which that's pretty much the key difference between a C-Corp. You're being taxed at the corporate level and then also being taxed at the personal level, which is why John can speak to, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I really don't see many C-Corps popping up these days. To me, that's, again, back to scale. You have to be a pretty large business with a lot going on to do a C-Corp. So usually the benefit of the S-Corp, you know, I'll contrast it to a sole proprietorship. It comes down really to self-employment taxes. I know you don't like getting into numbers, so that's tough to break down too much. But the larger you are, the more income. Now, usually I don't start to look heavily at an S corporation, and when I say look into it, discussing with the CPA for the, you know, people working with, usually until you're getting up to 100, 200,000 plus with the current tax code is when you start to look at that mm-hmm. because there's some trade-offs.
Okay. Thanks for simplifying that. John, let's highlight situations where it's advantageous for a small business owner to opt for an incorporating.
Well, there are several. We don't have enough time here.
High points. Yeah.
High points. Yes. Okay. Get my volume here. The one thing you gain with a regular corporation is it has its own separate tax bracket. And so there can be a way of managing your taxes. So if you're a sole proprietor, whatever you earn comes right to your tax return. You have to pay it. As a partnership, it's pretty much the same thing. But as a corporation, you can hold some money in the corporation and pay taxes at whatever level you are. Sometimes they're insignificant levels, so that's helpful. And that allows you to have more flexibility in your money. You can then buy things in the corporation that you may not be able to do favorably tax-wise if you're a sole prop or a partnership or whatever because of the tax situation. So you begin to think about things like buying your car. Do you buy that in a corporation or do you buy it personally? Those kind of decisions begin to be important. Mm-hmm. Also, we don't have time to get into all this, but all the retirement plan possibilities mm-hmm. that you have to consider when you're moving from entity to entity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Limited liability companies, or what we know as LLCs. Spencer, why is an LLC a possible standout in comparison to some of the other business structures?
It's just, in my experience, it's the most common. The other ones are a little bit more obscure, like there's an LLP, a limited liability partnership. Again, I see that more these days with accounting firms, law firms. It's not something that you see pop up as frequently. So if you're someone who's starting off with your sole proprietorship or an S corporation, they're really easy to set up. Again, you're shielding yourself from liability. There's not a whole lot of nuance to it. You just, you know, register with the state and get that set up. And these days you can even use DIY tools like LegalZoom that cost you a few hundred dollars to walk you through it. Not to say you should do that versus working with an attorney, but they're pretty easy, right?
And it just not as complex.
Not at all, right?
Gotcha. And what kind of businesses should consider that type of structure?
Any of the three that we've touched on. You can be, like I said, you can be an LLC, be taxed as an S corporation. You can be an LLC operating as a sole prop. You can own six different rental properties and own them in the name of an LLC to protect yourself, or six different LLCs. So really, it's just, again, knowing what your type of business is and what your liability exposure is.
Okay. John, you tapped in a little bit to the next point, integration of business and personal finances. Is there really a rule of thumb to clearly separate personal from business finances overall? Or does that really get intricate for each business structure?
It depends on the individual, so it depends. but yes, there are, it does have impact on what you want. For example, as I was growing my business, I said I started a sole proprietorship, and then I grew to a corporation. Why did I switch to the corporation? Because at that time, I could set up a defined benefit pension plan and put $200,000 a year away. So that was a major advantage to me. I couldn't do that in an IRA or SEP or anything else going on the line. Mm-hmm. So you have to begin to make these kind of considerations. You have to be aware of some things. If you buy an asset and you depreciate it in the corporation, then when you sell that asset, for example, a lot of people just want to give it to the owner, there are tax consequences to that too. So there's a lot of consequences that are effective.
Mm-hmm. Spencer, what are the potential risks and advantages of blending your personal and business finances? Let's go with the risks first. I mean, I would imagine organization is at the very bottom of all this, personal organization skills.
Yeah, pretty much.
Knowing your living expenses on the personal side, right?
Well, yeah, okay. I was going in a different direction. Like, I was just thinking, I feel like a lot of people forget the follow through, right? You set up an LLC, but then you continue to cash business checks to your personal account. That kind of defeats some of the purpose. So to your point about being organized, right, the risk is if you set up a separate LLC, a separate entity, right, you should be setting up, bank accounts for the business, right? Keep it all separate. Otherwise, you're muddying the water. And if something does hit the fan, then you could be defeating the purpose of why you set that up to begin with. And then the other thing, you just always, I feel like if you're moving on to even considering, should I be a sole prop or an S corp, I would really caution you to have a CPA if you don't already have one. Because the other thing people forget is, depending on what kind of business you're operating and the tax entity and the structuring of it all, you shouldn't just be willy-nilly taking money from business to personal and acting like there isn't going to be a potential tax implication. Too much for that, but that's where something you should have a good CPA who's going to explain that to you and don't just jump back and forth.
Yeah, there are some special rules in that. The unrelated business income can be an issue for you if you're an S-corp, but not true if you're a regular corp. So you have to have the CPA who's going to help control your radical decisions.
Do you, as CFPs, do you find just generally that this is really hard to be consistent with this part of being a small business owner, creating these good habits on the organizational side?
Yeah, I mean, and that's where I tend to avoid doing it, but not to toot our own horn. Like, unfortunately, with a lot of this stuff, it's a lot to expect that you're going to get a CPA that's going to sit down and coach you through all this for 10 hours and hold your hand through it all. Same with the insurances. So ideally, you have someone helping prompt this. But yeah, I mean, to John's point, business owners are always super busy. They have a ton going on. So expecting that you're going to put in 80 hours a week operating your business and then find the time to research all these other items and get it done, that's tough.
Yeah. What kinds of retirement tips can we offer people when they own small business? Is there an umbrella boilerplate benefit, or are they specific to each business structure?
Retirement? owners never retire.
That would be tough, wouldn't it?
No, business owners, entrepreneurs never retire. And they will try to or hope to, but it's a problem for them. So you can save money in several entities we've talked about here for your retirement. And that money then you put in there is deductible, and it grows tax deferred, and you may have enough when you retire. The way things are going today, you better have a lot more money.
What are some of the retirement tools that sole proprietors can take advantage of?
When you're saying retirement tools, you're talking about retirement accounts.
Yeah, retirement plans.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, there are three main ones. John mentioned kind of one that's for we probably definitely don't have time for that one. You can do like a SEP IRA, mm-hmm. you know, a simple IRA.
What is a SEP? What does that mean?
Self-employed pension plan.
Okay.
So, yeah, I almost said simplified.
Like, is that like a 401k?
No. So that one's, so essentially all that one is, there is no employee interaction with the plan. It's strictly profit sharing, and you're not mandated to do it every year. So if it's just you, it's pretty easy. You take about, you know, 20 to 25% of your profit and dole it out into the retirement account. It's a tax deduction. It's pretty easy. Like I said, you're not locked in every year.
You can't do that if you have one employee or two employees?
No, you can't. I just mean that like most people, when you're familiar with the 401k, you get to decide how much you want to put into it, and maybe they match. The SEP, you can't put in 10 grand on your own accord. It has to be based on the business profit. All right, so that one depends. You can do it if it's just you. You can do it if you have 10 people. It's really easy to set up.
Okay.
Next one, simple IRA. Again, pretty easy to set up. Really similar to a 401k. The employee gets to put in. There's generally a 2 or 3% match from the employer, but you can't put in as much as you could put in with the 401k. So that's the next one. Depends on how many people are going to participate in it.
How do you know if the SEP or the simple is for you?
Again, the SEP or the simple.
Mm-hmm.
How much you're trying to put away? Are you trying to put something away every year? And again,
so SEP, you can accelerate it more with the simple than the SEP, or is it the reverse?
No, I wouldn't say. It depends on how profitable the business is. So again, to me, it comes down to more how many people are going to be participating in it, mm-hmm. right? So if it's 8 people versus just 2, that's something to consider. You know, is the profitability of the business, does it swing, right? Because then with the, you know, if it swings a lot and you want to have the flexibility to not contribute 1 year, the SEP may be good because mm-hmm. you don't have to do it. Whereas with the simple, you generally have to either say you're going to give a 2% or a 3% match. So that could make a difference.
So in meeting with your advisors, when you talk about these retirement plans, some of them obligate you as the employer to fund it, whether the employees do or not.
Right.
So that's a sophistication.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Okay. Tax optimization strategies, reminding people that we're not CPAs, but we can speak to some of the tax strategies. Are there unique considerations for each? If you can give me one unique consideration for each of the structures, what would it be? Let's start with the LLC.
Well, not the LLC, right? Because you can be an LLC and an S-Corp. An LLC is a sole prop. So do you want to break it down by like sole prop versus
sure.
S-Corp? John, you want to go or you want me?
Go ahead. You can start.
Yeah. So
I've talked too much.
I feel like I'm monologuing. So I'll do the S-Corp because that's the one where generally the difference, and this is why it's not cut and dry. So I'll try to make it quick. Essentially, the difference is if you're a sole prop, any of the profit that goes through, are you going to pay your federal taxes, maybe your state taxes, and you're going to pay self-employment taxes, which everyone forgets about. Right? Self-employment tax is essentially your Social Security and your Medicare taxes that everyone just takes for granted if you're W-2, right? It just comes out. You don't even think about it. So you're getting hit on that front. The difference between the sole prop and the S-Corp is, say you're an S-Corp and you're bringing in $200,000 in profit. Instead of you paying the full self-employment tax on $200,000 plus the federal and the state, working with your CPA, you could say, okay, well, I'm going to pay myself $100,000 salary. You're going to get hit with the full payroll tax or self-employment tax in the federal and the state, but then the other 100 that you don't pay as a salary, you could save on the self-employment tax. So you could be saving, you know, north of 7-8%. And so that's a difference. But you also lose out on some other deductions that sole proprietors get when you do that. That's why you need to get into the weeds with the CPA on that one.
Yeah. I think, what about the partnership? Is there a unique consideration for that one?
Not to me on that one, not from taxes.
I don't know. No, scratch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, we talked a lot about making sure that you're enlisting the proper professionals to do all that needs to be done. The takeaway is be very researched, be proactive, seek the help of the professional, the CPAs, the attorneys, the certified financial planners. These are the people that we all work with in these situations with our own clients who are small business owners. Thanks for joining us as we've navigated through the diverse landscape of ownership structures. Remember to do your research and seek help. If you're ready to take control of your financial future, contact us for a complimentary consultation with one of our CFPs like Spencer. We're glad you tuned in. We hope you'll come back. We are Managing to Be Wealthy.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast.
we help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.